If you would find a sermon outline in your bulletin, we give these to you so you can write all over them, take notes, anything God may speak to you. I'll try to illuminate the passages as best I can. Don't fret, this is a two-part series. If we get to point two today, we'll be doing wonderful. Okay, so don't sweat all the scripture that's there. It's a, like a book we've given to you. We do give you next week's sermon so that you will study ahead, that you will read those passages in context, in the flow of thought, and pray through them and ready your heart for next time we gather. This is a two-part series on, we're breaking away from 2 Corinthians. We normally do just verse by verse by verse through books of the Bible, and we're breaking away for what we call a topical teaching on this whole thing of how to celebrate and honor our ladies. Not that our culture needs to know anything about this, but we've taken some negative turns, and this is pretty important stuff because we can be sucked in to the current trends of culture, and quite frankly, even our wayward hearts without a wayward culture makes it difficult enough. So we're going to try to build biblically our esteem and honor and celebration of our ladies, not just moms, but all of our ladies. Mother's Day can be a glorious time for some ladies. Life is just grand. I mean, you're in the sweet spot of life, and you look at your kids, maybe you look at your grandkids as well, and you're going, life is good. This is the good life. For others of us, this can be a very, very painful time. And we want to be aware of that as a ministering congregation. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And with most of us, there's kind of a balance between the two. There's some rejoicing going on with our kids and maybe our grandkids, and there's some crying and serious pain going on. And so we kind of have that balance in life. For those who are childless, for whatever reason, infertility, never got married, or any number of other things, it doesn't mean, childlessness doesn't mean that God doesn't trust you, or that you're not righteous in some way, or trusting God. We think of the story of Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the birth of John the Baptist being announced to a couple that was very aged, and they had no children. This is Zacharias and Elizabeth. Both were righteous, walking blamelessly in the commandments of the Lord, and they had no child. What is the big point that Luke is shooting at? And Luke is one of the Gospels that's mostly, that's highly interested in ladies. And right at the outset, Luke is shooting at the fact that a person or a couple or a lady may not have children does not mean that God does not trust her with children. That's not the point. We don't know the whys and wherefores of everything that happens in our lives, and it's always right to search our hearts for any waywardness, but childlessness does not mean that God does not love you and that God does not trust you, okay? Number two, the death of a child. This can be a tough day if you've lost one or more children to death. We grieve with you. The death of your mother, many of us have, our moms have ceased, and it can be kind of grievous in that sense. The death of a husband or a wife, quite frankly, the death of the mother of your children, this can make it a grievous day. Divorce, single momhood. Wow, I can't think of anything tougher on the planet than being a single mom with young children, or children of any age, quite frankly. Rebellious children, where your children are just ripping your hearts out, and you have that feeling of failure. The abusive mom that hopefully none of us have, but probably statistically some of us did. Or the mom who neglected you or abandoned you. This can be a tough day. So I say that list, and I've probably left some things out. I give that list to say that as a ministering congregation through this day, let's be really mindful as we, you know, you might be a person that's just, hey, happy Mother's Day. And I kind of said that on the way into people. I was thinking about this, and you might as well. And it's okay, you know, we do joy in one another's joys. At the same time, let's be really mindful of other folks. We want to be a congregation that's not fake, but very real. So as you go to your life groups, your small groups after this time, be very mindful that others' lives may not be the same as yours. It's appropriate to rejoice with those who rejoice. It's appropriate to weep with mothers and, quite frankly, men that are weeping. All right, I want to make a strong case that God calls us to honor our ladies. That's where we're starting today. Okay, this is in your notes now. Strong case that God's calling us to honor all of our ladies. And we will start with that very point, point A. All of our ladies need to be honored. Why? Genesis, this is the creation of mankind, male and female. Genesis chapter 1, this is the creation account. God is setting the tone for everything that's going to happen on this planet from this time forward. God's creating man. And verse 26 said, God created man in his own image, in his likeness. Gave them authority over the planet. Verse 27, God created man, that's mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You think God's trying to tell us something? That all people are created in the image of God. Male and female. And just that very image changes the way we treat one another. When you get in your car and you're driving home and there's a nice little lady that's this, quite frankly, does not understand the speed limit and your need for speed, understand she bears the image of God. The long lines, the whoever it is, that cantankerous lady next door, she bears the image of God. She's deeply loved and valued by God and needs to be, therefore, by us. We honor the honorable ladies in our society. We honor the dishonorable ladies in our society. Some are in this day, I don't know why, for the life of me, some are pursuing this whole thing of I'm nasty. I'm mean. I'm, you know, you've seen that on news, you know, and you're going, why are you doing that to yourself, and why are you setting that example for our society? For the life of me, what's going on? And yet there's some virtue that some see in that kind of action, and it's just heartbreaking. But even the leader of whatever that movement is, for whatever cause they may have, we call the movement evil, or those movements evil, but the lady bears, and there's no particular person in my mind right now, there's numerous people in my mind right now, each one of them, help me out here, each one of them bears the image of God, and we can call what they're doing right or wrong biblically, but the person, we've got to be very, very careful in politics or prostitution. Why did I... Those words go together? No, I don't know how that happened. No matter what they're doing, I got to move on. You guys got it, okay? We honor ladies, all right? No matter who they are and what they're doing and what they stand for, whatever, they bear the image of God, and we honor them. We can speak truth about what they're saying and doing, but we honor them as we speak truth. B, we honor our mothers. Amen? All right. Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 1 and following is quoting from Moses in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. That's where the Ten Commandments are found. It's interesting, in the Ten Commandments, there seems to be some semblance of kind of an order to those commandments of kind of priority. And the first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. They're the most important by far. But then the second six have to do, it seems, with our relationship with one another, which are built on the first four, our relationship with God. And the first one mentioned is not don't murder. It's not don't commit adultery. What does the first one mention? Very purposely, I think, in the mind of God, honor your father and your mother. If that's happening in a society, if mom and dad are living in an honorable way, making it easy on their kids to honor them, hopefully, and the children understand that regardless of how they're living, whether they're living honorable lives or dishonorable lives, you reverence the office, you reverence the image of God in the person, and you honor your mom. Amen? no matter what. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no clauses. It's just simply honor your mom. If she's asking you to do something that's obviously disobedient to the Word of God, you politely and respectfully and honorably say no to that, but you honor your mom. You have a reverence for your mom. And that's what Ephesians 6, Paul brings that into the New Testament, and he says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. And for all of us, honor your father and your mother. Honor your mother. It's important for dads to honor their wives so that their children honor their mother. Amen? That it might be, here's the promise, proverbially, well with you that you might live long on the earth. In other words, that your dad won't take you out early. Okay? You need to have that threat. Okay? That's my wife you're talking to, and you're going to honor, whatever you do on the planet, you're going to honor your mom. Period. No attitude, no disrespect. That's a law. And we can take you out. I didn't say that. You might want to erase that from the tape because sometimes he's, anyway. Dad's got to be firm about this, but they can't say that if they're not honoring their wife, the mother of their children. All right? So honor is just, it's the big thing in family. Honor your mom, no matter how she's behaving. Honor your mom. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1, also in your notes. The Lord says this to the people through Moses. Moses, talk to the folks, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and say to them, this is God setting up a nation now to be a fishbowl for all the other nations to see. He's setting them up right now, and he's going, you got to be doing this. As a nation, be holy, in other words, be set apart from commonness and sin to me, be holy, for I am holy. Be like me in character. And then the first thing he says is, every one of you shall reverence his mother. Amen? Reverence, fear. The word it's a word for a deep, deep reverence. Normally, that word is used for God. Fear, or have a deep reverence for God. And here, God's using it for your mom. Why is that? And your dad. Honor your reverence, or have a deep, deep reverence or fear for your mom and dad. Why is that? Because that is transferred to God. And that's transferred, that honor is transferred to God, and it's transferred to other authorities in a society. And it's not funny when we have a society that is promoting dishonor. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why, just as human beings, we can't see the devastation we're bringing to our kids and our upcoming society. I don't know, even outside of that, why can't we see it? And yet we're promoting dishonor of our seniors and our parents all over the place. It's a growing trend, and it's absolutely hugely concerning and heartbreaking. And just gut-wrenching, quite frankly. It ought to rip our hearts out. Anyway, we got to do what we can do in the Christian culture, counterculture, to honor our parents. And my grandkids need to see me honoring my grandparents and my parents. And honor is caught. Amen? All right. So we got to honor. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. God commands it. Our mothers and our dads, but our mothers, particularly today. Third, we need to honor our wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she's a woman. And that takes us back to the Genesis account, 1, 2, and 3. And grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Last phrase first. God's going, if you ain't honoring your wife, I'm not interested to talk to you. I mean, is that not what he's saying? You better be honoring your wife, who, if she's a Christian, is my daughter. Don't worry about her earthly father. Worry about her heavenly father. If she's a Christian, that's the daughter of God. And God's going, if you're not honoring my daughter from the time you walk in the house to the time you leave in the morning, I don't want to talk to you. That's a heavy word. And it is, again, there's no clauses if she's behaving in an honorable way. We just simply honor our wives. Why? Because of who we are.
and because of who God is and his character at work in us, no matter what. So husbands, command, honor your wives. She's a fellow heir of the grace of God.
There's a story told among some tribesmen. Some missionary brought it back. I can't verify it. It's a story, so don't press me on this. Okay, again, disclaimer, it's a story, but don't miss the point. There was a very, very eligible bachelor, and there was a fairly just average young lady, and they had a system of dowries, and so the negotiation was made on the dowry for this average daughter in this tribe, and the highest dowry to ever be paid was 4 cows. Okay, not bad, 4 cows, all right? And I don't know what the lowest was, probably take the daughter and we'll throw in a couple of chickens, I don't know. So the highest was 4 cows. And this guy, being very wise, in the negotiation says, I will give you 8 cows for your daughter as a dowry. And the word got out to the tribe, and the tribe's blown away. Like, what? And what is he? Nobody's ever offered that much. And she's just kind of average. I mean, nobody's ever offered that much. So the tribe is blown away. But they were more blown away in the months and the years ahead when she became the most admired female in the tribe. Now, why is that? Because of the value and the honor that man started out with and continued to show to his wife through the days. And she began to live up more and more to the way she was valued. And if you think, well, it shouldn't be that way, then think about the gospel. My whole countenance changed when I realized the price that God paid for me. Are you kidding me? The value that God put on me, the price of his son, that's the gospel. And the gospel lived out as a husband is now to value your wife. And the wives here, I can easily say, are at least 8 cow wives. Now, you can use that later on. Be careful when you use it outside this congregation of another lady, though, okay? It may not go over well. If you try it, let me know how it goes for you, okay? Our ladies here are easily 8 cow ladies, all right? And we need to treat them and verbalize their value to them as such. And that is the gospel to us as well. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. I died for her also. She is way more valuable than an 8 cow wife, and you let her know that, and you live in that way. We need to honor our daughters. Adding to Genesis 1, that all people are created, all females are created in the very image of God, is this. Psalm 139, verse 13. You did form my inward parts. This is the psalmist under the Spirit of God, speaking to God, you weave me together in my mother's womb. Now, I want you just a little aside, think about that. What a glorious thing our mothers have experienced when that little baby was formed and those cells began to multiply. That was the hand of God working inside your womb. Now, whether it came from a rape, whether it was a, quote, accident in your mind, or whatever way it happened, that was the hand of God at work inside your womb. Think about that. And so this passage goes on to describe this work of God. You weave me together. Every person can say this to God. Every young lady, every daughter here of any age can say this to God. You weave me together in my mother's womb. I want you to think about that. Verse 14. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. So God made you. He made you awesome.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully put together in the depths of the earth. Speaking of the womb, poetically. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. In other words, you knew me before you created me. This is why abortion is such a heinous thing. You knew me before you created me, and in your book, they were all written. What was written? The days that were ordained from me when as yet there was not one of them. God, you made me. You made me awesome and wonderful. You have a plan for my life and my eternity. And I can say to every lady here, I don't care how beat up you are by other people, and sometimes by your husband, by your boyfriend, by your dad, by male guardians, whoever they may be, every lady here, you're made by God. You're made awesome and wonderful. God has a plan for your life and your eternity. You are valuable to God and to anybody who understands the heart of God. You are beautiful in the eyes of God and anybody who understands Scripture, and you are deeply loved beyond your imagination. And this is another thing, just rips my heart out. Abusive, thug men, and I don't care if they're husbands or boyfriends or human traffickers or tyrannical dictators or whoever they may be, they all do the same thing. And this is satanic, and Satan is overjoyed in this. They all do the same thing, and that is, ladies, they make you feel worthless. Somehow you get under their power, they make you feel worthless. And they tell you that you're the best. The guy tells you I'm the best you're ever going to have. You're worthless. Nobody's going to ever love you. That's why abused ladies tend to stay with their abusers, because they're put down so low that's what I deserve. And the Word of God sets you free. When you begin to believe what God is saying, what God thinks about you and says about you, you can now throw off that thug. Amen? And our ladies, our young ladies, our daughters, as we raise them, they got to understand that what the Word of God says about them, not what, the amoeba to a person, evolution, not what evolution says about them, not what society says about them, but what God says about them. They are extremely valuable to God. And we need to not just honor and celebrate our daughters and bring them up with an understanding of who they are in the Lord. But we need to honor our ladies who fear the Lord, our sisters here in this church, be it your wife or be it other sisters in this church. Proverbs 31, verse 25. This is honoring all ladies who fear the Lord. Fear means have a deep reverence for God, deep respect for God. Proverbs 31, 25. I'm going to kind of start mid-course in this proverb of a mother describing to a young man what to look for in a bride. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. In other words, she's industrious in preparing for the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the way of her household, doesn't neglect her household for ministry or other things. She might be doing other things, but she's focused on her household as a priority. She does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she's industrious. And when we read Proverbs 31, this portion or all of it, typically our ladies are quite humble and going, oh, who can live up to that? It's not me, And I just want to look at you, and our elders agree with this. We have a whole lot of Proverbs 31 women in this congregation. We got a whole lot of Proverbs 31 women in this congregation. Women that are growing and moving in the direction that a deep reverence for God brings one to, including these things, dignity and a growth in wisdom, You're studying Scripture like mad. You're living it out. You teach kindness by your example, by your words. You're focused on ministry and other things, but you're not neglecting your households at the same time. You're industrious. And verse 28 gives us direction on one of the ways we honor those women who fear the Lord, including our wives and our mothers and our grandmothers. Verse 28, her children rise up and bless her. Bless means speak good things to her. Rise up means, like, you know, rise up in her presence. Her husband also, I think of King Solomon, who rose up, he's on the throne, and he rises up when his mom comes in the room, who others could have put down badly, you know. But he honored his mom, and that's the way moms need to be honored. Even the kings rise up for their mothers. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he's rising up, and he praises her, saying, and this is the language of love. And adoration, and I hope this is true in your house. Many daughters have done nobly, a lot of great ladies around, but you excel them all. And I can say that to Karen, and I can say that and mean that about my wife Karen. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. In other words, anybody can flatter somebody else, and beauty has no eternal or kingdom value at all. I mean, you know, just doesn't. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen? A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So, gentlemen, we have our marching orders, pretty plain in the text. Ladies are to stay seated, and the gentlemen here are to, in just a moment, rise up and praise these ladies who fear the Lord with a good round of applause. Amen, gentlemen? Now's the time to do it. Let's rise up. Ladies, stay seated if you would. We love you. We love you. We admire you. You are an incredible inspiration to us. We love you. Amen. And man, you can take that home. We're just getting started now. Okay, this is Mother's Day. All right, it's Mother's Day. Not even going to have softball practice today. I mean, that's like really, Rhonda, what do you think? You know, okay? I mean, this is Mother's Day. All right, so this is a day where you started there all day long. It's just going to, you're going to be praising your wife, your mom, the ladies in your life. Amen. You know, it's actually, there's a playoff game. That, talking about romantic, I think the Lightning play tonight, okay? I'm just go with me here. Go with me on this, okay? Lightning play tonight. Again, work with me here, all right? And they lost the first game, which is probably a good thing for the Lightning, okay? We're rooting for the Lightning, and they lost the first game. But there's something about, or there's supposed to be something about home court advantage. Now, what is that? Why is home court advantage a big deal? What is it about home court advantage, Fuzz, that like is, oh yeah, I know. It's the fans that are screaming for them. It's the praise they're getting from their fans. Is that not right? Yeah, they go somewhere else, they get booed, right? But they, in a home court advantage, they get praise. Is my bedroom home court advantage for my wife? Is my living room, my kitchen, our house, is it home court advantage for my wife? Is she being praised when she's there by the kids, by the grandkids, because that's the example I've set, and by me? And if not, the loss of home court advantage can be a big blow. I mean, you know, good disciplined athletes can still fight through it. But even good teams, when they travel on the road, they bring their home court advantage with them. It's not by all the fans, but within that team. You show me a team that's starting to squabble with one another, they're done. I don't care what the sport, they're done. But show me a team that stays behind even when they're down, even when they're beaten up, even when they're behind in the score or in the overall game thing. Show me a team that is rooting each other on, and they got the best advantage possible. Amen? That's home court advantage. And may we be husbands, may we be dads that are giving our kids, our daughters, and quite frankly, our wives, our mothers, that home court advantage. All right, so I said we're going to be doing good if we get through 2 points. That was all by way of not really introduction, because we in this day, man, it's just important that we have riveted in our hearts that need to honor our ladies. That this is God's word, and I don't care how I care, but society does not dictate the way we live. Amen. And if everything's going, in south when it comes to honoring, I'm sorry, but that's not an excuse. It does not dictate how we live. We live honoring our ladies, period. That's all there is to it. And we live honoring their ladies as well. All right? So how to honor and celebrate our ladies. We've just kind of made the case that we need to do it. Now we're talking about how we do it. And this list of 14 is it's inspired by Karen, if I could say. It's what she deserves and what she lives out as well. So that's kind of the main thing. And I think inspired by the Word of God as well. It's applied to ladies of different sorts. Some is all ladies. Some would just be moms. Some would be wives. Some would be daughters. Some sisters. And so it kind of varies point to point. You can figure it out and how you apply it. And who does the applying of this? Well, both male and female in many points. Sometimes it's just guys, okay? So again, you can apply the point to your situation as we go, all right? Number one, this is how to honor and celebrate our ladies. Number one, promote and affirm motherhood, listen now, over less valuable work. You say, what work? Yes. All work is less valuable than motherhood. Amen? All work is less valuable than motherhood. And it just, again, another heartbreaking thing that our ladies are being fed the lie that if you're going to be somebody, you gotta free yourself from that home. You got to get out there and be somebody. And that is a lie from hell, I can assure you. That's not what the Word of God teaches. It is not wrong for a lady to work at whatever age and whatever's going on. And I can just say from my own testimony, there were times, Karen and I have been blessed to have 4 children. And there's been times where Karen has been home with the children and doing that kind of work. And there's been other times where she has both mothered children along with had secular employment. And so we get it. We get both sides of that whole thing. And so we understand financial strain. We understand the need for ladies to work outside the home, even when their children are small sometimes. And so I'm not setting up anything outside of to say this. If at all possible, moms, try to be home with your children. If at all possible. But we get it when sometimes it's just not economically possible, and we get it. We understand. Again, Karen and I understand. We've done it both ways. And it's just a heartbreaking trend, though, that this bombardment of our ladies, that if you're going to be somebody important, you got to go outside the home. That's a lie. That's a lie. Okay? Motherhood, there's nothing more important than motherhood. All right? And one of the passages in Scripture that describes this whole thing of motherhood and shows its value is Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and following. This is the book of Titus. And we have these words to older women in the church. This is written to the church, older women in the church. Likewise, and there's no more older women. I understand that. Everybody's young today. But regardless, that means you're a little older than some of the other ladies, okay? Older women, more mature women in the church, likewise are to be, one, reverent in their behavior. That's always a good thing. That's true for men as well. We honor or reverence others and God. Number two, we're not malicious gossips, true for men and women. We don't speak about other people behind their back in a negative way, ever. Number three, we're not enslaved to much wine. Some alcohol is not condemned in the Bible, but drunkenness is, being alongside a bottle all the time is, because you're dumbed down in your ability to hear the voice of God and to worship and help other people. Number four, teaching what is good. So these are good for men and for women, but here we're talking to older women. They need to live this lifestyle, as do men, that they may encourage the younger women. Now, here's the list of seven. This is what God values, among other things, but this is one of those great lists. To love their husbands. That means to value and sacrifice for their husbands. Their husbands, of course, lead the way in that. To love their children. Of course, husbands are to do that as well, but they are to focus and value and love their children. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. Both of those things are not the easiest thing to do. And so older women need to come alongside the younger women, teach them how to love their husband, teach them how to love their children. Number three, to be sensible. In other words, don't just be emotional, learn to think things through. To be pure. In other words, morally solid, morally sound. Workers at home. Focus on the home, and you can, again, some work outside the home, okay, but, focus on working at home and keeping the home good for the children and the husband. Number six, being kind. Teach them how to be kind, to teach the children to be kind. And then number seven, to be subject to their husbands. What is it to esteem the husband as the leader of the household, as Scripture everywhere does? What does that look like? How does that go down? That the Word of God, in other words, God's design for marriage and family and the home and society, that the Word of God may not be dishonored. Motherhood's huge, and that's the way a church should be looking. Older women helping the younger women with this whole thing of motherhood and being a wife, and doing what they can to just really put the priority on the home. And again, it's not wrong to work outside the home, but it is right to value motherhood as more important than other work. Amen? That wasn't very loud. Y'all good with that? And it's kind of weird in our society. It's like, this is bizarre. It's like this is repressive and archaic. This is the Word of God. This is always right, and it always works best. All right, let me just introduce the next point, and then you can, we're not going to go through it all, then you can take it home and study, and we'll start here next time. I'm just going to introduce point number two. This is how we can honor and celebrate our ladies. Number one is we promote and we affirm motherhood. And we honor that as men and as children and as male and female, quite frankly. We honor motherhood, and we promote it in every way that we can. Number two is we listen to the hearts of our ladies, especially our moms, and carefully consider their counsel. God's given them wisdom. God's given them a perspective that we probably don't have. We need to listen to their hearts, that they are being our ladies, specifically our moms, but this includes our wives as well, but the main target right now is going to be our mothers. Listen to their hearts. What are they feeling? What are they, where's their heart coming from? They might not be able to word it, like they do in law class, but where is their heart coming from? And are we carefully considering their counsel? Here's some words inspired by God from some mothers in the Bible. This is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Where do we start with? We start with a deep reverence for God. That's true for everybody. We start with a deep reverence for God. On the other hand, fools despise wisdom and instruction. They know everything. They got it all figured out. This would be a majority of our teenagers, and unfortunately, they take that into their lives, and it's not good. All right? So if I don't need the advice of other people, including my mom, I'm an idiot. All right? Verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake. That means don't stop thinking about your mother's teaching. Now, again, some of you had maybe possibly some really really satanic moms, okay? And you know, you got to apply this to those that are godly. Most of us were blessed with good, solid mothers that had some kind of a respect for God, at least. Most of us did. We want to continue to take their teaching into account. You know, as teenagers, we blew it off, but now we mature, we take their teaching into account, and we take it with us, and we continue to think about it. Indeed, this teaching from your mom is a graceful wreath for your head, probably a victory wreath in an athletic game is kind of the idea here. It'll bring victory in your life and ornaments about your neck, a beautiful, prosperous life, I think is probably what's being pictured here. Listen, bottom line is, listen to your mom. Think, really consider what she's saying. Don't be like you were when you were a teenager. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Listen now. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Don't forsake the teaching of your mother. In other words, take it, bring it with you. These teachings, bind them continually on your heart. In other words, all the time, be thinking about what your mom taught you. She's smarter than you thought she was. Continually be, have it on your heart. Be thinking about it. Be meditating on what your mom has said. Moms, by the way, grandmas, don't give up. It can look like Junior ain't listening, all right? But if you keep teaching by your example, keep teaching by your words, moms, grandmas, keep teaching. Don't give up. They're able to take it with them. They may not get it now, but in the course of time, as they continually think about your teaching and your example, I mean, how many are believers, quite frankly, how many are believers today because of the example of your grandma, quite frankly, right? You know, they went wayward. You know, I'm one of those guys. You know, you go wayward, you try this, you try that, because you're so smart. But, you know, when you're in the pig's pen, you start thinking. You know, my mom wasn't quite as stupid as I wanted to put, you know, I wanted to make her out to be. And it starts to eat at you, right? And so moms, grandmas, keep gently in your perfect way, how you know how you do that stuff. Just keep gently setting the example, gently teaching. And so we're commanded, verse 21, to bind this teaching on our hearts, to tie this teaching around our neck, and always have it with us all the time, to always be thinking about what our moms taught us. The result, verse 22, the next verse, when you walk about, this teaching from your mom will guide you. When you sleep, this teaching will watch over you. In other words, in your dreams, in your subconscious. When you awake, this teaching will talk to you. How many of you have experienced that, like today? You know, I don't need a show of hands here, but your mom's been dead for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and you're still remembering the teaching of your mom. It's still speaking to you. What a valuable thing. What a valuable thing. Again, it's the honoring of motherhood. That's going on all over this congregation, privately in our homes. And quite frankly, even right now in children's small groups, going in the next hour as well. Beautiful teachings from moms to children. Keep doing it, Mom. Keep doing it. We value you for it. The commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. And reproofs for discipline are a way of life. You got to discipline the kids as well. Why? Because that's a way of life. God's going to keep disciplining us through our lives. We need to learn to accept it as young kids as we receive that teaching from mom. So moms, keep it up if you would. That's the last passage. I gave you Proverbs 31 to look at as an illustration of what a mom is teaching her children. So if you want to see some good ideas on what moms should teach children, we'll talk about it next time we get together. Some really important topics to not miss as you're raising your children. And then we go on to the second example of Lois and Eunice and their teaching in the New Testament of their grandson and their son and how that turned out. More encouragement to our moms to continue to teach and us to continue to value their teaching. And then we will get into some other things as well that apply to all ladies. Today's Mother's Day. really, really good day to give your mom a call if she's alive. Really, really good day to visit your mom if you're able to do that. Really, really good day to just honor ladies throughout the day. Looking at your little daughter, your little granddaughter, she's going to grow up, should the Lord tarry and grant life, grow up to be a young lady, and if God blesses, a mom, certainly an influence in the lives of others. It is right, it is good, it is commanded by God, it is the heart of God that we honor our ladies. Father, I give you thanks for this few minutes together to look at your word. And we pray that you would powerfully work and move in our hearts, that this great gift, the ladies in our lives, this great gift, that we would come back to the example and the standards in your word, that we would not be duped by society and by its direction and its screams about, liberation that produces, some liberation is good, obviously, Father, but the type of liberation that produces bondage, Father, keep us from that kind of, quote, liberation. And we pray that you would just in every way set our ladies free to follow the fullness of God's design in their lives for motherhood, for being single, for being married, for ministry, for employment, for just doing good in society, even on the, in the political realm. Father, that our ladies would be set free because we value them and we honor them and we esteem them. And for the ladies that are hurting because of some of the things we mentioned earlier, Father, we pray for your healing upon them, and pray that you'd guide us to come alongside them and listen to them and cry with them and pray with them and make us a healing community, Father, to those that are hurting on this day. Thank you again for the great grace that we enjoy in Christ as a community that values deeply our ladies. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, and as we sing the one most important thing in life, and I can tell you the one thing that I'm sure your grandmother and your mom have prayed for, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you're not sure about that relationship, let's get that right. Jesus died on a cross for the penalty of your sin on his body on the cross, died in your place, rose again, ascended into heaven. He is alive. He offers you the gift of eternal life. When you turn from whatever your direction is in life and you trust him, you trust Christ as your Savior, as your risen Lord, as your King. If you've never done that or you're unsure about that, let's make sure right now. Anything else on your heart, come on down as we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
There are small groups, life groups, we call them, for all ages following this time. They're on the back side of your bulletin. Some are happening through the week as well. We invite you to check out one of those. We will be hanging around and love to talk with you. If you have a question about anything, a comment, suggestion, or you just want someone to pray with or give you a good hug, we're hanging out for you, okay? God bless each one of you. God bless you, mothers. God bless you, ladies.